From beach towels to tea towels, and from mugs to water bottles, the TNT Shop has it all. Browse our shop now at tntradio.live. Informing, not boring. George Christensen on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back to the final hour of TNT Radio's The George Christensen Show. And it's my great pleasure to actually introduce the next guest. He is probably known to many people. I know he's certainly been here on TNT Radio before talking to some other hosts. It's the first time we've had him on our show. His Twitter account refers to him as the suspended Dr. William Bay. Almost like that's an honorific, and I guess it is a bit of an honorific because he is suspended because of a reason. The reason is that he wanted to air his views as a doctor. He wanted to exercise his basic human right to express his views, you know, all in the belief that it's his responsibility as a doctor to advocate for the health and safety of his patients. So he was looking at everything that was going on, particularly regarding these jabs, that this mRNA gene therapy that masquerades as a vaccine in this country and right around the world, and he was expressing concern about that. And for that stance, you know, I can't believe this happened, folks. I really can't believe this happened. For that stance, he was taken on by the medical board, by the AHPRA, the AHPRA, the Australian Health Practitioners Regulatory Agency, and he was sacked. He was suspended. He lost his profession. But he's still a doctor. He'll never lose that title. Dr. Bay, you're joining us from Brisbane today. How are you going?
Yeah, good, thanks, George. Just down Coffs Harbour way today, actually, because there's been a mega freedom rally that I was just speaking at as well.
Yes, I know. I wanted to get to that today, but unfortunately, circumstances precluded me from being there. Has it been a good festival, the Freedom Festival in Coffs? Has there been a few people there, or how's it gone?
Yeah, absolutely. It's always a great day when anybody, regardless of the numbers, whether big or small, stands up for freedom. That's what's important, is to keep that spirit of freedom and fighting alive, because in that spirit is our victory.
Yeah, excellent, excellent. Well, look, I want to talk through your situation, Dr. Bay. You obviously spoke up against this whole narrative against COVID, against the jabs, against all the rest of it that was going on. And for your troubles, you were pretty much dismissed as a doctor by AHPRA. Now, before we get into where we are now, let's go back to then. When did you start talking up about this? What was the point in which you what time frame are we talking about that you started speaking up against the narrative? And I need to ask the key question, because this always is an eye-opener. What was it? Was there one thing, or was there a number of things that made you suddenly start questioning the narrative and speaking up?
Yes. I felt like I was a normal doctor on the 8th of March, 2021. And that date is important because on the 9th of March, the next day, AHPRA emailed me and said that literally you no longer have the right to a freedom of thought, conscience, or belief. Mm-hmm. That was the day that they released their position statement. So prior to the 9th of March.
2020?
2021, because the vaccines had just.
Yes, post-vaccine. Yep. Sorry. Yep, you're right.
2021. Yeah, yep. Yes. So whilst I had some initial concerns about the vaccines and the speed of which they were coming out, and my sort of inherent latent skepticism about vaccines in general, I'm a big believer in informed consent and the right for people to choose what goes into their body. So I was willingly and unfortunately, looking back on it, engaged in administering and authorizing the vaccination of my patients throughout about 6 to 9 months of 2021. And it became increasingly unconscionable for me to keep giving those vaccines, so-called vaccines, throughout 2021 as the mandates became stronger as I saw people like yourself stand up in Parliament and say that that mandates and being locked down, etc., was not acceptable, I felt increasingly part of a tyrannical system that I had not chosen to be in. And I realized that at some point in time, I was going to have to choose between continuing to work in a career that I'd sacrificed a lot of money, time, and effort to be in, or to do the right thing. That decision came towards the end of 2021, around October or November of that year, where I thought closely to myself about what do I value in life. And I realized that if I just let go mentally of any possessions, wealth, house, fame, superannuation, etc., I was entirely free and they couldn't control me. So it was through that realization, George, that I got the strength to talk with my wife about my intentions to not take the vaccine and to speak out about the vaccines more and more. Mm. And was she comfortable with that? She said she was. She agreed with that decision. I thought, well, that's great, if not a little unexpected. And I shall go forward with that plan. And the amazing thing was, when I first told one of my employers that was my decision, they were entirely supportive. That was National Home Doctor Service. I full credit to them. They agreed in the right of myself as a doctor not to be vaccinated, and by extension not to vaccinate others. So it was only until the evil Queensland government brought in their far-reaching mandates on the 15th of December, where all health practitioners, regardless of whether they're in public or private practice, and they're now intruding into private contractual relationships.
Yes.
That's right. Yeah, that's when I had to make that decision, come out clean, and be on one side or the other. And as you know, I decided to not take the vaccine. I resigned from work as a general practice registrar in North Brisbane. And then the year after that, from March of 2022, I started to speak out publicly. I created my own political organisation called Queensland People's Protest, which is sort of now transformed into Freedom and Truth Australia. The reason I did that was to get the word out more, because, well, more people were dying and are still dying to this very day, aren't they? So I decided I needed to do more.
Okay, tell us quickly, you've raised it. Tell us a little bit about Freedom and Truth Australia. Where do people go to find out information around Freedom and Truth Australia?
Yeah, so Freedom and Truth Australia can be found on Facebook primarily, just by searching for that. We also have the QPP, Queensland People's Protest website, qpp.lif for freedom e, and that's where all of my legals, all my legal stuff and information about APRA and the Australian Constitution and other things is located there. The reason we had to transition from QPP to FTA is because QPP was banned off Facebook from a protest that we did outside of the Pfizer headquarters in Melbourne. That got us banned really quickly. And the other reason is that the Queensland government has been blocking registration of our organisation as a legitimate club. So I'm looking to actually move FTA into a political organisation later this year.
Yeah, wow. And I guess that allows me to segue into a conversation that I started at the top of the show, and that was regarding this misinformation and disinformation laws. I just want to ask your view on them, because you're someone who's obviously suffered at the hands of big tech censorship. Have you had a chance to look into these laws yet, Dr. Bay?
I have had more of a look at Queensland's version of this anti-free speech bill.
That's even worse. If they could be one, it's even worse, because you could end up in jail.
Correct.
But we'll get on to that in a second. But let me just tell you about this law here. I mean, it's so curious that they've put in this law. Now, we've got something called the implied right of political communication in Australia. There's no First Amendment free speech right, but there is a constitutional implied right of political communication. What the government's done here, the federal government, Anthony Albanese's government, has... Well, what they're trying to do is to circumvent this right in the Constitution, this implied right, by tackling big tech and getting them to do the dirty work and forcing them to do the dirty work. Now, big tech already do the dirty work, but you're starting to get outfits like Twitter, which is just pushed against the sort of censorship narrative. You're getting, obviously, Truth Social, Donald Trump's social media service. You've got Telegram, you've got Parler, you've got Gab, you've got Rumble, you've got BitChute. You've got a range of different free speech, open speech sort of platforms, and they hate it. They hate it.
Yes.
And then you've got your own websites, like what you've got with QPP.life. They hate it. And so they've put in these laws that big tech have got to put in policies in place. They've got to adhere to those policies. They've got to take down people like yourself and myself off of the internet when we say anything that they deem, somehow they deem, under some criteria that we're not aware of yet, to be not true. And to be harmful. And interesting, in the definition of harmful in this draft bill is found harm to the health of Australians. And I think to myself, gee, I can't remember the last time that I tweeted and gave a million people in Australia leprosy, but apparently that can happen now. But the reality is we both know they're not talking about, you know, real harm. They're talking about imagined harm, as if we say something that's against the health narrative, the health bureaucrats, and that is going to cause some problem, rather than just being a discussion, as you should be able to have in a democracy. So that they are going to impose medico-tyranny, and it's going to be detrimental. But let's just get back to these Queensland laws, because I mean, I noticed that it was all going to be about groups, you know, group rights. Forget about individual rights. They figured out the right of Dr. William Bay to be able to say what he wants to say, to be able to provide for his family. But now we're going to institute group rights, a right not to be offended. And this is going to be something that is legislated. It's going to become a criminal act. And you could potentially go to jail for 3 years, as I understand it, for posting something online. Tell me, though, where in those Queensland laws does something fit into it that might be a discussion around the health, a health topic, a pandemic topic? Is there anything in there that will cause you, that causes you alarm on that particular front, Dr. Bay?
Not specifically. Bill that they're proposing, which is the Criminal Code Serious Vilification and Hate Crimes and Other Legislation, Amendment Bill 2022. They always make it a mouthful so people can't look it up, right? Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt again. Then they do something else as well. They throw a big thing in it, like we're banning the Nazi flag. So if anyone ever says anything against it, oh, you're for the Nazis, are you? You know, like the rest of the law doesn't mean anything. So they hide all of the bad stuff by this one catch-all thing. This is the anti-Nazi swastika flag bill, and if you're against it, then you suddenly must be pro-swastika flags. It's it's so childish, but that's what they do. I know the tricks.
Yeah. So with Clause 7 of that bill, it makes for 3 years imprisonment by moving Section 131A out of the Anti-Discrimination Act 1991, moving it into the Criminal Code of Queensland. So they are now criminalising discrimination and hate speech and offensive speech. That speech centres around offences of serious racial, religious, sexuality or gender identity issues. So whilst it doesn't specifically touch on COVID or health issues, as you were just mentioning before, there is another clause of that bill, that being Clause 12, where they're introducing new prohibited symbols. And that's wide-ranging, and that could be against things for promoting informed consent or QPP or basically any libertarian or conservative ideology. It gives them open slather to shut down their political opposition, if not just because that this Clause 12 says that once this law comes in, they don't need to make any other laws again to prohibit symbols. It'll be left to the executive rather than the legislature to proscribe and prescribe which symbols are and are not hate speech. And that comes with a 6-year jail, by the way, for displaying those prohibited symbols.
So for that, if they don't like a particular movement or a particular new political party or whatever, they can say that symbol that's getting so much attention at the moment and so much cut through is now banned And that's a scary thing. I mean, once you open the door a little bit, I mean, these people are politicians. These people are bureaucrats. You give an inch, they take a mile. They always, always do, particularly when it comes to your freedom, your rights, your liberty, your privacy. You give an inch, they will take a mile. They'll take more than a mile. They'll probably take 100 or 1,000 miles, as much as they can get their hands on. And I just think this is horrifically scary that we're going to be jailing people now for what they post online. Not comments that actually harm anyone, but comments that offend other people. And let's be honest, I'm getting a bit off track with this, but yeah, it does touch on a medical issue, because I'm assuming that if you have a very strong opinion about the medical industry's response to the mental illness of gender dysphoria,
yes,
that you are probably going to be put in jail. If you say something against the mutilation of young men and young women on the altar of transgender identity, you are probably going to be put in jail.
Well, you're more correct than you know, George, because already in Chapter 5B of the Public Health Act, Queensland 2005, it mandates imprisonment for doctors for 18 months jail if they dare to suggest to a little boy that they may be a boy, or to a girl that they may be a girl if the girl or the boy is somewhat confused. That's already in place.
That's insane. That really is insane. I mean, we've literally jumped the shark as a society, as a state, as a nation, as a civilization. I really don't know where this leaves us, but we've got to cut to a quick break now. We will come back with more with Dr. William Bay after these messages.
Greg Mabry on TNT Radio.
The Jeffrey Epstein story, which most of you will be familiar with, is but the tip of the proverbial iceberg. This trade, moreover, is facilitated or covered up by the mainstream media particularly, and here we only need to think of how the venerable BBC for decades covered up a close friend of the royal family, Jimmy Savile's indiscretions, and those of his mate, our very own erstwhile national treasure himself, Rolf Harris. Within the past week, we've had the release of the much anticipated film The Sound of Freedom, which is a feature film looking to highlight, obviously, and raise awareness of this particular issue.
Well, statistics say 8 million kids go missing every year worldwide, 800,000 in the U.S. alone, and that there are 2 million kids right now that are being trafficked for sexual exploitation. This is a worldwide operation, and it's run by the elite, the bloodline elites. We're talking the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds and the royal families of Europe.
The No Fly Zone with Greg Mabry on TNT Radio. A better business tip from TNT Radio. One reason people tune in to TNT Radio is often because they're loyal to a specific show or personality. Our personalities have been a part of people's daily routine, and people continue to tune in. They trust TNT Radio and are highly engaged with the content. If you'd like more information about advertising on TNT Radio, simply fill out your details on our contact page and we'll be in touch. To find out more, go to tntradio.live. This is the George Christensen Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
You're back here on TNT Radio as the George Christensen Show for the final 40 minutes, or just under 40 minutes, of the show. We're talking with Dr. William Bay, who is the cancelled doctor. He is the doctor who APRA pulled the rug out from underneath simply because he was speaking up, as should have been his right, as a human being, not just as a doctor, as an Australian citizen, as a free, erstwhile free Australian citizen. Instead, because he showed some concern about the vaccines, about the whole COVID narrative, he was just deprofessionaled. He was cancelled. He was removed from his profession that he'd worked all his life. I got to ask that question. How long were you a doctor for before all this happened, Dr. Bay?
I've lived and worked in different countries and places. So I was a late entry or graduate. So just 6 years I was been working as a doctor prior to my scandalous standing up for informed consent in this country.
Well, the scandalous standing up, I wonder whether they arrested the Australian Immunisation Handbook, which also talks about informed consent. But, you know, that's not just 6 years. It's obviously 6 years on at least 6 years, and probably in terms of study. So that's
absolutely, that's right.
12 years of your life undermined by some pinhead in the government apparatus that looks after medical registrations. Now, you haven't just taken this like go on.
I was just going to say two things about that. One, APRA pretends to be a Commonwealth government agency, including having the .gov.au address, but it's not. It's not a government agency. People can look it up on the ABN register, ABN lookup, and see that it's a corporation masquerading as a state government entity in Victoria, no less, operating off based of a what's called a national law that is not legislated nationally via the federal parliament, legislated by the Queensland State Parliament, if you can believe this, and then all states and territories around Australia unconstitutionally adopt this national, so-called national law from Queensland as if it were the law of their own state or territory.
Weird creature. It's neither beast nor fowl. I mean, I know exactly what this outfit is. It just falls into this constitutional black hole, this sort of gap in the system, and thereby evades all sorts of responsibility. No one's responsible for it, you know?
Correct.
It's a federal agency, but it's not a national agency. It doesn't come – well, actually, it's the other way around. It's a national agency, not a federal agency. So the federal government is not in control of it. Yet the federal government pays for its ongoing administration. I don't know how they're doing that, but, you know, somehow that's allowed. An agency which is not a federal government agency is getting paid for by the Commonwealth government, who actually have no power over it. And the power is derived from not just one state government, but all state governments. And so, therefore, a single state government can't override it because it's all state governments that are involved in it. It becomes what we call a war unto itself, and a nightmare for that matter too. So
they are
very
a law
much
unto
is a law unto itself now. Yes,
absolutely, and that is, I think, best exemplified by the fact that when they suspended me on the 17th of August last year, I have my 1 year anniversary of the suspension coming up soon. Not a single patient complained against me. You believe that? Not a single patient had any allegations of harm or a surgical mishap or any other problem at all. This was purely APRA going after me for political reasons. They even said that I was to be suspended. One of the 45 reasons for my suspension was that I called the Premier of Queensland, Anastasia Palaszczuk, a dark mistress who sits in her tower of power at 1 William Street. So that was literally the insanity.
What happened to your implied right of political communication? I mean, that's crazy. That's a constitutionally protected right. You can say just about anything about a politician in this country, and it is legitimate free speech. But apparently, as a doctor, suddenly when you sign up to being a doctor, you immediately have that right, that constitutional right, revoked. I don't buy it. I don't buy it whatsoever. How many doctors do you know faced this same fate as you? Were there others that were thrown on the scrap heap for speaking out?
Well, this is the thing. There are so many doctors and nurses and other health professions that have been cut down, that have been deregistered, have been suspended, have been even more scarily perhaps forced into re-education, and they literally use these words, re-education, into re-education programs when they've spoken out against the government narrative. And it hasn't just been the government narrative on COVID-19, George. It's also been about things like sugar and also the Ukraine-Russia conflict. If you say the wrong thing, they'll come after you with all the unconstitutional power that they wield. And so there's, I believe, about 11 doctors that are currently suspended at the moment in Australia. But because I believe strongly, and it seems that you agree, that they are acting unconstitutionally. I'm now suing them in the High Court for all these unconstitutional laws and actions, and I intend to win by proving to the court that you cannot have these invalid national laws. You must stick to the Constitution and have state or federal laws only. And in that argument, I think there's a very good chance that I'm likely to succeed because the Constitution's got my back.
Yeah, yeah. So you've taken this on. You haven't taken it lying down. You've gone to the courts for remedy. But I don't know the full journey, and I'm sorry that I haven't been across everything that's happened to you in that legal journey, Dr. Bay. But tell us what court did you? You took on APRA in the courts? Is that how the legal journey began?
So which
court did you go to?
Yes. So on the 16th of August, when APRA had their hearing, which they didn't allow me to attend in person, by the way, and when they declared me guilty of being a serious threat to the safety of all Australians.
They didn't allow you to attend in person.
Correct.
To a jumped-up kangaroo court in which they were deciding your fate.
Absolutely.
Under what pretext did they not... Did I not allow your attendance? Was it because you were not jabbed?
No. They, being so almighty and powerful, they gave no reason at all, despite my solicitor asking for one. As we've talked, once you start leaving the Constitution, once you start leaving the law, they can literally do anything. And so that's why they denied my entry. A law unto themselves.
I got to tell you, again, sorry to cut in, because I know you've got a story to tell, and I do want people to hear it. But even before COVID, as a then member of Parliament, I had doctors coming to see me saying, we've got to talk to you about APRA. They were already flexing their muscles and, pinging people for various different things prior to the event of COVID or the advent of COVID. I think COVID just supercharged their authoritarianism because it certainly came to the fore then. So I know exactly what you're talking about with this outfit. But so they had their little kangaroo court session. They ruled that Dr. William Bay was to be no more. So after that, you took it to a real court rather than a kangaroo court. Which court did you take it to?
I took it to the Supreme Court. So I immediately went on the offensive.
Queensland or New South Wales?
Of Queensland, yes.
Yes.
So whilst I had been engaging in more than 45 protests around Queensland, I'd also done protests in Victoria and Sydney as well, including one famous one on the 29th of July 2022 at the AMA National Conference in Darling Harbour, where I warned my colleagues that they should stop killing their patients. And because of that protest, that was what really provoked APRA into going after me, because it was highly embarrassing for them to, well, basically hear the truth, right?
Sorry to interrupt, but I just want to, on that, did you have, I bet my bottom dollar, because I know a couple of other doctors, some of which I'm not going to name, that were in my local patch when I was a member of Parliament. One, Dr. Melissa McIntosh, she's named herself. She's out there, guns are blazing, trying to take on the TGA. And she told me about the flack that she copped from other doctors. I'm assuming that you copped a fair bit of flack, and you might just tell us quickly about that. But did you also get a few sort of, under the table pats on the back, a bit of kudos from doctors? What was the response from others in your profession, Dr. Bay?
I think I didn't get too much of either of those extremes, in fact. Because I was so public with my condemnation of the COVID vaccines and the lack of informed consent, and because of APRA's very serious and sudden temporary suspension of me that goes on to this very day, 11 months later, everybody knew that I was a hot potato or a no-go territory and just stay away. Guilt by association, George. So friends stopped contacting me. Family members didn't want to know me. My medical supervisor didn't talk to me, text me, doesn't want to know me. My employer, my employers, they were surprisingly supportive, but the people around me were not. And that is because, well, they were. It's the same reason that they haven't spoken out about the COVID vaccines either, and that is they are protecting their families, they are protecting their jobs, they are protecting themselves. And I get that. However, yeah. What behooves a man or a woman to get all the glory and the money of the world to lose their soul, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that it's a decision that must be made.
Obviously needs to be remembered by plenty of people actually following the whole pandemic and everything that happened, that saying that you just said. So, okay, continue. Sorry to interrupt. Continue talking us through the legal path that you trod. You're in the Supreme Court. Did you win or lose that case?
So that case in the Supreme Court where I went on the offensive and I sued APRA, I sued the Medical Board of Australia, and I even sued the state of Queensland for creating these unconstitutional laws that underpin everything, that was adjourned indefinitely on the 22nd of March of this year because I raised and showed the court that there were serious constitutional issues like this national law, like Queensland legislating for the entire country, that needed to be upskilled to a court of higher jurisdiction, that being the High Court of Australia, which is where my case sits now.
You raised constitutional issues in that court case in the Supreme Court of Queensland, they basically said, we can't adjudicate this. This needs to go immediately to the High Court. Is that how it worked?
Well, the Chief Justice who took over my case in the Supreme Court of Queensland said that she was neither saying that nor was she not saying that. But she was allowing my application to move the matter from the Supreme Court to the High Court because of the significant constitutional issues that I'd raised. So that case is indefinitely adjourned pending the outcome of what happens in the High Court. On the 7th of June, unfortunately, of this year, the High Court ruled that my matter was to be dismissed from the High Court.
So without any hearing whatsoever, just dismissed before it even gets heard. Is that how it worked?
No. Fortunately, I was given the benefit of not just a hearing, but a full bench decision of the High Court, that being Justices Gordon and Stewart. And that decision on the 7th of June determined that my matter was dismissed with costs awarded against me. And a lot of people were dismayed or disappointed by that decision. However, I was not, because I wanted to see the reasons behind that decision first before getting unhappy about it. And luckily, or fortunately, when those the decision reasons for decision document came in later that day, I was overjoyed to see that there had been a mistake. The full bench had decided that my matter was to be dismissed on seemingly another matter that was not mine at all. They were talking about APRA's application to dismiss and about its lack of value and all these type of things. And I'm not APRA. I had not applied it. They had not applied. It was me. So they had, in my opinion, clearly mistaken the matter. And so I sought to appeal the matter before the High Court, but I was told by the High Court and lawyers and other people in the community that you cannot appeal decisions of the full bench of the High Court of Australia. There is no higher court in Australia. And I disagreed. However, I'm not a lawyer. I'm not even a doctor currently, but I can read the Constitution, and the Constitution under Section 73, subsection I, says that you can appeal any number, a judgment from any number of justices, including the full bench. And so I didn't give up, and I took that argument to the High Court, and I'm very pleased to say that on the 4th of July this year, the High Court allowed me to appeal.
So let's get this straight. You were told by all the experts,
and the
seen
court.
That picture
and
before.
The High Court.
We're told by the High Court, by all the experts, by the lawyers, that no one can ever appeal a decision on the full bench of the High Court. It doesn't happen. You're wasting your time.
Yes. But
you went and applied for that, and you were given standing. So you can now take this matter and appeal it to the full bench of the High Court, basically appealing against another decision of the full bench of the High Court. Is that a little bit of an admission that they mucked up the first decision, or what's happened there?
George, I would never seek to preempt a decision of the High Court, let alone the full bench of the High Court.
Okay, we won't say or do anything that jeopardizes that. But obviously you're going to put a case to them that goes to the heart of this issue of the constitutionality of this outfit.
Absolutely. And here's the great thing, George. I already have put this case to them. It's in the High Court now. I have a new file number. It's B37/2023. So I'm literally in the High Court fighting on the papers, fighting digitally as we speak, against APRA, against the Medical Board, against the State of Queensland right now. And the fantastic news that I have to share with your audience today, George, is that whilst APRA and the Medical Board have decided to fight my appeal, the State of Queensland, as of this moment, has not yet done so. They are still wavering and hesitating on even wishing to challenge me on this matter. And they've only got 4 days to go to make up their minds. So I'm really happy about what has been happening.
Very interesting. Very, very interesting. Well, look, we'll find more out about this potential High Court challenge to this authoritarianism from what is an agency that really isn't a federal government agency. It actually isn't a state government agency. It's just sits out there in legal no man's land. So we'll find out more about this court challenge after this quick break here on TNT Radio.
Give me a minute with TNT Radio's Steve Malzberg.
I've talked a lot about the racism that has now become acceptable in the United States, racism against white people. I've discussed campus living arrangements that prohibit white students, job forums that list those who are welcome with one race notably absent from the invite, teachers unions that will ignore seniority of white teachers when it comes to laying them off. It goes on and on. Now comes this. There's a bill being pushed by Democrats in California that would make judges take the race of criminals into account when handing down a sentence. That's right, take race into consideration when handing down a sentence. This racist and surely unconstitutional bill was passed by the state house and is now in the Senate. Now, under the bill, courts would be making up for how minorities have been treated in the past by going easy on current minority criminals who come before the judges. White people would, of course, get no such special treatment, of course. I wish I was making this up, but I'm not. The sanctioning of racism continues to spread, and it needs to stop before it's too late. Thanks for giving me a minute. I'm Steve Malzberg for TNT Radio.
Melissa from Michigan. I work an extra part-time job serving lunch at my child's school, but I still can't afford to put food on our table.
Daniel from California. Choosing whether to pay the rent or pay to fix the car to get to work doesn't leave us with much at all. Now we can't even pay for meals.
Hunger is a story we can end. End it at feedingamerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
News to start your day.
Good morning. How about some news?
Just tell your smart device to wake up.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back to the George Christensen Show here for the last section of the show. And we're joined by Dr. William Bay. He is a very brave doctor. He spoke out furiously and clearly against this whole COVID narrative, particularly the jabs, and for that, for exercising his right to free speech in what should be a democratic nation, he was stripped of his credentials as a doctor. This little agency, this little mob of jackboots, tin pot dictators, authoritarians in the Australian Health Practitioners Regulatory Authority or agency, they decided that they held a little kangaroo court. He told me earlier he wasn't invited to it, wasn't allowed to give his defence to this group in person, and they dismissed him from the medical profession. He just wasn't one to just roll over and die. He's taken that on. He took it to the Supreme Court of Queensland, raised some constitutional issues, and they indicated to Dr. Bay that he should look at the High Court. So the matter went to the High Court. Some bizarre happenings there, folks. If you'd been listening before the break, the High Court ruled on it. In fact, the full bench of the High Court, which, as offline discussions I've had with Dr. Bayes indicated to me, that just two judges constitutes technically a high court full bench ruling, So these two judges gave a judgment. The judgment was dismissing Dr. Bay's case. But now he's appealed that, and this is highly unusual. Never, ever, ever happens. Suddenly he finds himself back in the High Court where he's going to take on APRA. Now, I think that there's been a little bit of desensitization, Dr. Bay, to the court challenges because we've got a whole heap of court challenges that come up, and really any of them see success on this front, whether it's, you know, your situation with your right to freedom of speech, or whether it's others that are challenging the validity of public health orders, or whatever it might be. Is there something that gives you a bit of hope, a bit of inspiration that this may be different?
Yes, yes. I believe that there are two things ensuring the ultimate success of what I'm doing. One is the Constitution. I believe it's an amazing document, an amalgamation of the codified British Constitution and the American Constitution. And as you mentioned, there is an implied right to a freedom of political communication, and also the right to a representative democracy, as recently proved as a case of Liberty Works versus the Commonwealth 2021. And so I believe that this Constitution hasn't been used enough by previous lawyers, barristers, solicitors in fighting for our freedoms in this country. And I'm using it thoroughly, entirely. I'm using it as the base of my argument. And so I have strong confidence that the High Court justices, their whole job, their oath is to protect Australia, to protect the Constitution. They will rule in favour of me because I am doing nothing more and nothing less than asking them to re-establish the primacy of the Constitution. So that is where my faith lies. And more importantly, I have an extremely strong faith in God, and I believe that God has guided me every step of the way with this matter. As you know, George, I'm not represented. I don't have a solicitor. I don't have a barrister. I haven't had any legal training, but I have been winning, and I will continue to win because I believe strongly that Jesus is my advocate, and he will re-inject sense and sensibility and lawfulness back into this judicial system once again.
Okay. Give us your legal case then in a nutshell. What is it that you've put to the High Court? What is the argument that you are using, particularly the constitutional argument that you're using, that you think will ensure that the High Court negates this decision by APRA to suspend you?
The answer to that question is very simple and also very complex. The complex answer can be found by reading my documents. I've made them all public, all transparent. They can be found at qpp.life/legal. And even my most recent High Court appeal, it's all there for the world to see. So my arguments can be read there in their entirety. But to simplify it really comes down to whether question one, does Queensland as a state government have the legislative power to legislate laws for the entire nation? Yes or no? And legal question two, does APRA as an authority using the word Australia in their name, as well as the Medical Board of Australia using again the word Australia in their name, but yet confessing to have their law based on a state-based law, thus pretending to be a Commonwealth entity, but not having the executive power of the Commonwealth under Section 61 of the Constitution, do they have the constitutional validity to take national, that is federal, actions against doctors like me across state borders? Remember, I was protesting in Victoria, New South Wales, Queensland. So how can a state agency, even if they argue they are a state agency, regulate nationally? That doesn't marry up with the Constitution at all. And the other issues would focus on primarily, yes, that implied freedom of a political communication. That is that doctors not only have the right, but they have a duty to warn patients about things, which was decided conclusively in the case of Rogers v. Whittaker 1992, specifically at paragraph 16, where it said only doctors in conjunction with their patients can determine what is truth. You've heard people like Jacinda Ardern say they're the only arbiters of truth. No. In Australia, the High Court has already ruled that doctors and patients, they are the only people who know the truth about that particular person. So on that basis, then there is no other higher authority than High Court law. That is why APRA is illegal. That is why APRA is unconstitutional. They've been making fake rulings, fake suspensions, fake judgments on an unconstitutional law and trying to overrule High Court common law. It's not on. And that is why I'm so confident that the High Court justices will agree with me, because APRA is literally challenging High Court authority. And so on that, I'm sorry, APRA, you're going to lose.
Interesting, interesting. And you can find those documents, as Dr. Bajor said before, by going to QPP, standing for Queensland People's Protest, QPP.life, L-I-F-E. It's sort of a bit of an obscure ending. People are used to the .coms or the .au's. This is QPP.life/legal, or you can just go to qpp.life and click on the button at the top that says legal. You can read all of this in full, the High Court leave to appeal, Bay and APRA and others. So you can read that application for leave to appeal the judgment of the 7th of June. That is going to be heard. That is going to be heard despite the fact that the full bench of the High Court have already ruled to dismiss it. They've realised there's been, well, possibly, I'm speculating, they've realised there's been a problem there and they're going to have another look at it. And I wish you well, because that is really going to turn things on its head. If we get this little group of jackboots there that are in APRA that ride roughshod over the doctor-patient relationship right across this land, and we actually extinguish them like they've tried to extinguish you, if we make them just completely disappear, their legal status is no longer. They have no authority because they are neither fish nor fowl. They are a figment of their own imagination, really. They're a legal figment of their own imagination, because they're not a federal government agency. They're not a state government agency.
No.
They are put together by all state governments joining around the country. And I believe, like you believe, that they are in creation as a result of a legal fiction, that you can have a national agency that isn't a federal agency and somehow derives its authority from state government. But the problem with that is that every agency of government, I mean, to me, simple good governance, all the issues to do with censorship, forget all the issues to do with COVID and all the rest of it, this year actually the buck has got to stop with someone. And in a democracy, the buck stops with a politician. You get to boot them out if you don't like them after 3 years. But when that politician and the ministers, whether they be at state or federal, do not have any ability to point the finger at a public servant and say, how come you made this bad decision? This is going to affect me. This is because my constituents don't like it. Well, then we really, really do have a problem. And that's the exact situation that's going on with APRA. It falls outside of the Commonwealth framework. It falls really outside of the state framework, because it's not just run by one state. It's run by all of them. And so the politicians in Queensland, the health minister at Queensland, they might ask some questions about it, but they have no ability to go in and grab the CEO or the manager or director, whoever it is, of this APRA and grab them by the scruff of the neck of the collar and just say, look, I want you to do this, 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 and this, as they can with their own director generals and as the director general can with members of agencies that are linked to departments. So that this is what happens.
It's scandalous.
When you have technocracy in control, a lack of democratic accountability. And what ends up happening is what we see with APRA. They become too big for their boots. As I said before, they really are a law unto themselves, and they start acting like little tin pot dictators. I've seen this time and again with bureaucracy, but this would have to be the most egregious. So you think they're going to come a gutser. You think that the High Court is going to dissolve APRA. What happens then if they do that?
Nothing too radical at all. We used to have legal and lawful state-controlled states, governments, medical boards and nursing boards. We just need to go back to the lawful standard that we had prior to 2010 before they all got together and conspired to create this unlawful, unconstitutional, national, but not really national, regulatory body. So, it is really is as simple as that. It looks complex. It looks scary. I know they have a lot of money and they've hurt a lot of people. But when it comes down to it, they really don't have anything to stand on at all. And perhaps that explains why that they are getting more fearful, George, and including attacking me physically by arresting me outside the front of APRA as recently as the 23rd of May of this year for merely protesting peacefully in front of their corporate office in Brisbane. I was arrested for exercising freedom of speech and spent 24 hours in the watch house.
Under what pretext did they arrest you? What was the law that you broke?
I'm laughing because it's just so ridiculous. They said that my voice was so excessively loud that it was obstructing the going and entering and leaving of patrons in a cafe 40 meters away.
Oh, really? Well, I didn't know that speech could ever. I did not know that speech could ever physically stop someone from moving. That's very interesting. Nothing surprises me these days when you hear the stupidity, because it's all just concocted gobbledygook to just try and preclude people from exercising their democratic rights, and that's all that was. But anyway, you're not to be deterred. You're going to go on. When do we expect that there's going to be this actual High Court case? When's the hearing going to be? Do you know yet?
Well, because everything is mostly fought on the papers behind the scenes these days in the High Court, it is happening continuously all the time, and it probably will go on for several months. I will continue to update my followers and listeners on QPP, on the website, on my Twitter at Dr. Billy Bay as things go on. I have my criminal court matter regarding that freedom of political communication on the 30th of August at the Brisbane Magistrates Court. We'll have to wait and see how things go, because if Queensland in the High Court doesn't even wish to challenge me, then things are going to get really interesting and may turn in different ways that I've never expected. So we'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah. Well, look, I think a lot of people will be waiting with bated breath for the outcome of this one, because I think that's got the capacity to just overturn the whole It will turn the whole medical system in Australia on its head. And yes, I will have to go back to the old system, but what it would immediately do, I'm guessing, correct me if I'm wrong, Dr. Bay, you would immediately be reinstated, because APRA would actually have no legal authority to dismiss you as a doctor. Would that be right?
Well, even better than that, George, all those doctors, nurses, chiropractors and everybody else who's been suspended or deregistered will get all their licenses back, because they will be declared void ab initio, that is invalid right from the start. So it really is a matter of supreme importance that will affect all health practitioners in this country. So my victory will be a victory for all, and we will finally have our constitution back once again.
I hate to end it with something that rains on the parade, but let's just say, if that did happen, do you suspect the way that these people are just so relentless that they would scurry back to their own corners, their own states, reform their medical boards or whatever they might have, and then try to, you know, do it again to everyone that they did it to before under the National Health Board or the Australian Health Practitioner Regulation Authority? Do you think that's the likely future for these tinpot dictators? They'll just try it again under state-based offices, or do you think that they'll let it go?
No, look, I think, the evil never sleeps. They will try, but this is how we defeat them, right? Through the power of democracy and decentralization. This is why they have tried to unlawfully consolidate their power into one central authority, because that is how you get away with everything. But so by deconstructing this monster, putting it back into its box, into segregated, separate state and territory lawful authorities, if there are any further illegal actions that pop up from time to time, then the good people of those states and territories can fight back and hold them to account. Because at the moment right now, people in New South Wales can do nothing democratically about the national law that comes from Queensland. People in Western Australia and South Australia have no power over this Queensland-based law. It's disgusting. It's unconstitutional. Mm-hmm. It's not accountable at all, as you said. So we've just got to return it back to a representative democracy, and then we can stop these evildoers in their tracks.
Now you can find more about Dr. William Bay at Twitter. He said that before, at Dr. Billy Bay, Dr. Billy Bay. Also, that Facebook page again. Do you know what was the Facebook page? Freedom of Truth Australia?
Yeah, that's right.
Freedom of Truth Australia. And the Look big one, QPP.life. You can also, if you so desire, donate to the fight here to effectively disband ARPA. That'd be a good thing. It'd be a good thing for good governance, a good thing for accountability, a good thing for democracy and free speech. And you're a good thing for it as well. Thanks very much for joining us, Dr. Bay, and good luck to you in this fight.
Thanks so much, George. I appreciate you having me on. God bless Australia.
That's all we got time for. Stay tuned. You're going to hear the wonderful Ross Cameron after these news headlines. Thanks very much for joining us once again.